We have, and we just ask you to touch and to minister. I pray to every need, Father, to every request that's been mentioned, Father, everyone that's been called out. We just ask you to touch and minister this morning according to the need. And Father, we want to thank you for those answered prayer. Father, there's been many prayers in days past that we've prayed, Father, right here, and you've answered, you've moved, and you've ministered, and we're thankful this morning. And we just ask you to do it again, Father, to touch and to work. Pray that you'd bless everyone that's come this way today. Bless this day, this time. Father, as we celebrate homecoming, and Father, as my brother comes to preach the word, we just ask you to bless. Father, as we fellowship together today, have your hand upon us and let us rejoice and enjoy the day, I pray in Jesus' name. Touch now and just have your way through this service. Keep us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Been faithful after all this time. He has been faithful. Now, Sister Debbie mentioned about how long she'd been coming. I was going to talk about that a little bit, but I decided I better not. But since she brought it up,
she did.
Amen. She said when they was having church on the grounds out there, and I was talking to this, I think it was Friday. And I mentioned talking to a lady, and she said about coming down here. But she said, "Oh," she said, "yeah, I know." She said, "when I was a little girl," and she said, "Brother Jake."
That's right.
I said, "Yeah." I said he was there for a long time, about 16 or 18 years. I can't remember, but it was for a long time. And so we talked a little bit about her time and coming down here, and I thought about me coming down here.
Yeah.
And Brother Larry's going to come here in a minute and preach to us. I was with Brother Larry when I come down here. I had actually been down here probably, there was a span of about 2 years. that there was not a pastor down here. They were just getting different ones to fill in. And I would come on occasion, different ones. And when I felt like that God had said it's time to go, if they'll have you, to go. And I talked to the church, and we came, and I think the first Sunday there was, of course, there was four of us, and there was eight others. So there was 12 of us. And what we have added on and done some building, but we hadn't had to knock out any walls. Even this morning, good-looking crowd, but we got room. But God's been good to us. Amen. God's been good to us. And see, and Brother Larry, if God gives us the first Sunday in June, it'll be 25 years ago that I left and told Brother Larry. And he told me that they'd be praying for me. And I believe he's been praying for me ever since. And I've needed every one of them. And we all do. We all do. But I'm thankful that God has blessed us to be able to come here today. And brother, you come on.
Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, I just want to read to you, and I want you to think about this. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now he's going to speak a little bit about after the resurrection here, and that's what I want us to see about, because on April the 5th we celebrated our Easter Sunday, you know, our celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And so we're sort of in between that. He's going to say here in just a minute, he said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. See, Jesus, hallelujah, on the way, praise God, back home, he was giving some instructions to help us, glory to God, to know. Because he gave a lot. I mean, you go read the four Gospels and you'll find a lot of things that Jesus said. But he emphasized these things after the resurrection. He's telling his disciples there. And since it's preserved, I believe it's meant for you and I also. God kept it for us. And so he said, to whom these apostles, he showed himself alive after his passion, or the cross there at Calvary, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. So Jesus, hallelujah, rose from the grave, and for some 40 days, he stayed around, and he had a few things that he wanted to deal with those apostles about, those disciples. You and I, as believers, are disciples of Jesus. And so he said that he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so Jesus, after showing himself alive, that he had came forth in the resurrection, that though he died there at Calvary for my sins and your sins, glory to God, awful death at Calvary. But I tell you what, the grave is about, it's on where I said, could not hold him. And that, glory to God, he come forth. And so he said, he showed himself by many infallible proofs. And I think about this sometime. I'll be reading these different things. And it's something, maybe I can't think of the man's name now, but he's what I guess they call an apologist there in the Christian faith. And he'll talk about that though a lot of people have a difficulty about Christ because of, I believe, the fact that they fail to want to submit themselves unto God. But the thing is that he says there are many proofs, period, that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose from the dead. And so that's what he's telling us here. He said, by many infallible proofs, it was evident that he had rose. And being seen and taught by these disciples, being taught by Jesus for these 40 days. In these 40 days, Jesus opens their understanding. He tells us that in one of the passages, that he helps us to, he's the one that, glory to God, enables us to receive the Word of God, to understand God's Word. I know a lot of times, and I'm not taking anything away from education, because I'm thank God that I got to grow up and learn to read and all those sort of things. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, the revelations that we receive from God are by His work, His Spirit. And He reveals these things to us. Hallelujah. And so He's telling them, I want to remind you then of these promises and the commands He gave to them, and to wait for the promise of the Father, which He was encouraging these. Now, because think about, you know, He said they hid there in the upper room after that took place. They were fearful of the Jews. These things that we face all the time. In fact, the song said it. You know, there are troubles sometime at the door. But here's the thing that He's saying to us, glory to God, is that you have, hallelujah, the presence of the God of glory in you. For if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. But if you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, I want you to know that even when these outward things come to trouble us, when at times our old natural man, you know, gets the upper hand on us, and we begin to fear, and we begin to have these things that worry us and cause us a lot of difficulties. Yeah, I want you to know one thing. Jesus Christ is present with us, and hallelujah, if we'll look unto Him, He'll give us what's needed. Amen. Whatever it may be. And He wants these disciples to know it, because they're going to need to know it. It's going to be they're going to have a lot of difficulties. There's going to be a lot of persecutions that they're going to face. I mean, when they tell you, if you preach it, we're going to kill you. Well, I'm going to tell you, most of us here has never had to face any of that. But they did, and so He knew they would need this. But I want you to look a little bit here. We're going to begin to look some at we're beginning in Matthew 28. I want to read there first what Jesus is saying to them. And one of the things you're going to see or find out is that He placed a big emphasis on us going on, hallelujah, and telling others what Jesus has done for us. No matter what position we may have in life, that was the thing that was most important. But here in Matthew, He says this, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But now here we are, being human. And I'm so glad that the Word of God is so honest with us. That when I have my doubts and my fears, that glory to God, so did the disciples at times. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and boy, His order encourages us, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So He says to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So one of the things that really sticks out, and we'll find this time and time again in these passages, He'll say it again in Mark. He said, I want you to go out, hallelujah, and tell others what Jesus has done for you. That's what we're to do, glory to God. In fact, to be honest with you, for many of these disciples, they wasn't anything else they could do, hardly. I mean, even Peter, after all the battle he went through, with the fact that Jesus had warned him ahead of time and let him know, now this is going to happen, you're going to deny me three times, you know, and I'll be with him. I can understand why he said, no, not me, I'm not going to do that. But he did, and he had to do then when he was there and he had denied him and Christ looked toward him, he went out and wept bitterly. But you know what the whole thing was? Christ, the whole time, He's saying to him, listen, glory to God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. And praise God, when, hallelujah, you get this business straightened out and God's hands upon you, He said, what I want you to do is to remember to pray for your brethren. In other words, you're going to get to go and you're going to continue. What are you going to do? You're going to keep telling them. Yes, somebody might say, well, I've seen you deny. That's all right. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry. I sinned against God. But I want you to know one thing. He loves me. And that, praise God, He forgives me. And so go, therefore, and teach all nations. So one of the things that we have been always encouraged about in these 40 days here, as I said, April the 5th, we celebrated Easter Sunday. And we're here on May the 3rd. And so we're still within the 40-day deal. We can still pick some things up, hallelujah, and be reminded of some truths that, look, we, hallelujah, the word go is to be in all of our lives, hallelujah, as believers when it comes to telling others what He's done for us. Not to be necessarily a theologian, or necessarily to argue the fact with anybody, but if you're able to let them know. I tell folks this at Oak Grove, and I try to remind myself of it because I try to do it there. if we would rehearse our salvation experience. In other words, if you'll look at these disciples, I'm going to tell you, you look at Paul, he did it over and over. I mean, he'd get in front of somebody and he'd say, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. Now, he knew a lot of things. He wrote a lot of things. He was a very learned man. But I'm going to tell you something. The thing that got him, when he got in front of kings, he wanted to tell them. I was on a road to Damascus one day, and glory to God, Jesus, hallelujah. Even though I had persecuted the church, he came, hallelujah, to me. Now, he did inform him of all that he would begin to deal with. But the thing is, he tells us, go, therefore, and teach all nations. So one of the things that we want to be present, because it's evidently important to Christ. He goes also then in the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15. Hallelujah. He tells him here, he said, listen. He said unto them, those that were there with him, he said afterward in verse 14, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, beginning to eat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he is risen. And we know the story. And I'll give you a real credit here, you sisters. They was the ones, hallelujah, that come back saying, listen, he's alive. And glory to God, us poor old men saying, well, you're going to have to show me a little more proof. I got to see it a little more. And the truth is, that he had told them time and time again as he exhorted them and encouraged them about it. He said, I want you to know that, praise God, I'm going to suffer these things. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the creation of God. I can say this, that if we needed to, hallelujah, it wouldn't hurt us at all if you're out there in the pasture or you're off in the woods somewhere, and there's a tree around or a cow around, it wouldn't hurt you maybe to practice rehearse your salvation experience. Amen. Tell somebody, hallelujah, amen, what Jesus has done for you. Because I'm going to tell you, nobody else could do what he did. Amen. In fact, he said this, Paul went on and he wrote to the folks in Rome one time. He said to him, chapter 1, he said, I want you to know something. Now, a lot of things I've had, but he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So prepare yourself. He said, I'm coming one day, hallelujah. And when I get to come, I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done for me. I want you to know, praise God. It's not to be some kind of outspoken feller, but it's to let them know, hallelujah, who he is. And so then he goes, I want to just turn over to the book of Luke 24. We're just going to run through a few of these, and I want you to see them. These are things after the resurrection now that we're reading. These are the things that were some of the things that were taking place after the resurrection. And here, he begins to speak to them in chapter 24, verse 36, we'll begin with. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. Now, I'm going to tell you, these disciples had seen miracles. I mean, they had seen the dead raised to life. They had seen a fellow named Lazarus been dead, I think it's 3 or 4 days in the tomb, and come forth. I mean, they saw Christ do some unbelievable, I mean, on the sea in the storm of raging, and glory to God, I didn't understand Peter so much, so he trusted enough to get out on the water. It's just when it got rough, it got hard to keep his eyes on Jesus. Yeah. But they had seen these things, but here it is. They're here, and the Bible says they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, it's something that Jesus, how he talks with us. That's one of the things I wish I wouldn't try to put him someplace, glory to God, where it don't seem as if he relates to us. He does. He took upon himself a flesh and blood body that he might, hallelujah, know every aspect of our life. He knows the feelings and the infirmities that we have. He told him, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? In other words, he said, I want to be sure that I show you this truth. And they gave him a piece of a broil fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now listen, If you don't think he's long-suffering, he is.
And he is.
He'll continue to work with us. Well, I can take my own self. When I look in the mirror, I'll tell you, in the mirror of God's Word, I really see it. That he's been willing to continue and to continue to show me, to encourage me, to help me recognize the truth. Because they had, you know, when it happened, when it came time and they took Jesus there from the garden and carried him down and began to, you know, crucify or begin to put him on trial, and they took him out and they beat him and did all these things. If you go and read Isaiah, I think it's 53 now. I can't my numbers anymore. But anyway, there you'll see a picture of this, and hallelujah, how that Christ was treated. And so they saw that, and they had a great difficulty accepting what he's fixing to tell them. He said, this was fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You go back into God's Word, hallelujah, into Isaiah, into the Psalms, he said, and you'll find time and again as Jesus was telling them. Now this is what happens to us a lot of times as believers. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people. They had leaders. And when Jesus came on the scene, they counted the cost of serving Rome or following Christ. And they failed to see the truth, hallelujah, that what they took him and put him through was exactly what God said would take place. Now, these were learned men. I mean, Paul himself was a very learned man. And hallelujah, yet it took his salvation experience on that road to Damascus that day for him to see the truth of what he's speaking about here. He said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them that it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance now. In other words, we got to turn from sin and unto God. The forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name. See, we don't go out, we don't have to do the condemning. That's not our job. I'm going to tell you, hallelujah, we're condemned already. What we have to do, though, you see, as he said here, and he's encouraging them about it. Remember what he said? We were talking about, he said, go into all the world. Carry this gospel and preach to them. Tell them that, listen, no matter, hallelujah, how far you've gone, Jesus, praise God, is able to forgive sin, hallelujah, and to cleanse you, and glory to God, make you ready for heaven.
Amen.
And so we should preach in his name among all nations. He said, begin at Jerusalem. He said, you are witnesses of these things. He said, I want you to recognize and know that this is... Go forth and tell others, hallelujah, that though you may be, you're lost in sin, that praise God, the Savior has come. He bore our sin upon the cross at Calvary. That glory to God, just as much so as that thief looked at the cross and asked, would you remember me today? Hallelujah. Recognizing who he was, praise God, as a righteous man. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I want you to know salvation, hallelujah, is what God gives. And so he tells them, he says, listen, you're witnesses of these things. I want you to go forth and to preach the word of God. And see, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Remember we had said earlier, it's the indwelling that he spoke about in the book of John. He said, listen, I go away, and glory to God, he'll come, and glory to God, he'll indwell you. He'll give you power. It's not what we have, it's what he has. The biggest thing we have to do, folks, is get ourselves in the place we ought to be and allow God to work through us. It's not our doing. It's not whether we're intellectual or whether we're this or that. I want you to know that, glory to God, he's the one that gives this. So he tells us, listen, there's evidence of his resurrection. He's telling us, praise God, we're to go forth and begin to preach the word of God and do it in the power of the Spirit of God, that he has enabled us to do that. He tells us that, hallelujah, then also, Jesus, I thought about this, just, and we want to look a little more in John chapter 20, if you will. We'll turn there. But I want to mention this to you as we turn there. You know, I can tell anybody, there's some old soldiers that recognized it. They said, there's never a man spake like this man. And I want you to look here a minute in John chapter 20, in verse 16, something happened. All it took now, Mary, hallelujah, who loved him. I mean, he had forgiven her much sin. He had delivered her. And she's there, so Jesus speaks to her. She don't recognize him, you know. She didn't know him. He's in his resurrected body, hallelujah. And that glory to God, she was kept from doing it. He says to her in verse 15, why do you weep? What are you seeking? And it says, tells her she thought him to be the gardener. And he simply says one thing, Mary. And I'm going to tell you something. In your life, and it was the difference in mine. I told you when I was riding down that road, going to work that morning on Highway 90, and I've always said I don't give people advice to read while you drive, but God was working on me. And I was going to figure it out. And that seemed like I looked down there, and for whatever reason, that's where the scripture was open at. And that old thief asked him to remember him. And it was as if right there God told me, that's all it takes. Call on me. I heard him call my name. And it changed my life. And that was back in many years ago. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I'd been out of the military just a little while, for about a year. And it was in 1979. And in January of that year, God saved my soul. Amen. And I thought about what it was for her, because instantly she turned and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. His word, his voice makes all the difference.
Yes.
Nobody ever spake like he speaks. And he'll speak peace unto us. And so he's here then in chapter 20 and 21, verse 21. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so he began there to empower them, hallelujah, as he does. He never... You know how it is sometimes for men here, I know Shirley knows this, a lot of times you go out on a job, you're a young feller, and they'll find whatever job it is they know good and well, you don't know how to do, but they'll tell you, you go out and take care of that. Well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. When he sends you, he makes you able. Hallelujah. He's the one that does. Glory to God, he gives us the power to do what we need to do. And so he said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And so as believers in these 40 days, hallelujah, even though they had been with him for 3 years, he gave them what he really wanted them to get a hold of. I want you to continue, hallelujah, to tell others about me. To preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why today, hallelujah, 2,000 years later, that glory to God, there's churches still around, even though there's many, many throughout history that has tried to wipe the Bible off the face of the earth. They've tried to eliminate all Christians. But I want you to know something. Jesus said, go and tell, hallelujah. Now, how do we do it? How do we do it? And we want to look at that real quick here in John chapter 21 and verse 12. I want you to think about what Jesus said. Now, I told somebody this morning that I recognized that what Jesus said here to him, he is talking to him, they was out fishing, the men were. But the reason they were was because they got a little discouraged, you know. And so they had, old Peter rose up and he had said, I'm going fishing. Now I said, that's what we get into a lot of times, instead of being accountable and responsible and doing what we need to. Now, nothing against fishing. There's a lot of fishermen in here. I know that. But the thing I'm trying to say is this. Now, old Peter ups and tells them, I'm going fishing. And so what do? They turn around and look at him and say, well, we're going too. But you know what? If you don't go, hallelujah, with God's blessings on you, you might fish all night and catch nothing. Because that's what they did. Because Jesus still has some things that he showed them. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. He does those things. And so he tells them here in verse 12, he says, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dear asked him, what art thou, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. But Jesus then come and took bread and gave them and fish likewise. And this would be the third time it said here that he has shown himself to them. And he said in this passage, when they had dined, what we find out is Jesus says, feed my lambs. Or he asked Peter first, he says, do you love me more than these? All the things that, you know, you get, the blessings. And he says, you know I love you in verse 15. He said, but I want you to know that Jesus, hallelujah, wants us, glory to God, to, when we love him, is to feed his lambs. In other words, everything that you can find here after the resurrection, he's encouraging you, take the gospel.
Amen.
Carry the gospel.
Yes.
Tell others about you. And the thing about it is, a lot of times in our families, more than anything else, we don't have to wear somebody out. But I tell you what would be good is if you're just a part of who we are, that listen, if I happen to be able to accomplish that and somebody says, boy, you've really done a good job, I would might just be normal for me to say, well, thank the Lord he enabled me to do that. Or God bless his name. I'm just glad he did. You know, those kind of things that he's saying to these disciples, you're fixing to go out into this world. And so he said this. He said, I'm going to send you, hallelujah, out. I want you to also realize that when you go out, you're going to need to, as I said, come and dine, which I believe encourages here. There's fellowship, which we'll be doing. Not only will we go back here in the back and eat, we'll fellowship together. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, if you go back and read it again, you'll find how important fellowship is. Our fellowship with the Father in heaven, fellowship with the Son, we fellowship with our fellow believers. Glory to God. All that makes a difference in our life, hallelujah, as believers and who we are. And glory to God, it encouraged me. I've said this to a lot of people. I worked in a federal prison for about 21 years. And I'd be sometimes, there'd be things going on, but you know what? When my mind wasn't where it needed to be, I'd come across, and lo and behold, God had sent one of them believers by, and hallelujah, he had begun to fellowship with me, and the next thing you knew, I got back on the right path. I'd be thinking, right, I wouldn't be wanting to, you know, get a hold of somebody. So, it makes a difference if we do. I'll tell you, I won't go there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the latter part of Paul's life, he recognized how important it was to have this. And boy, he's telling Timothy, you got to bring this with you, bring this one, bring John Mark with you. You know, I want all of this because it matters. And so we need it. So Jesus is telling him, come and dine, you know, be a part of this fellowship, whether it's through teaching, preaching, you know, all these things, what it does, it conforms us unto the image of Jesus. I know sometimes we think, well, it's just if I'm reading this book or if I'm hearing preaching. But our fellowship together as believers will help conform us to the image of Christ.
Amen.
And that fellowship, you see, the truth that we get, the encouragement that we get, the reasons we get to pray, hallelujah. And he said this then in 21 and 15 when he'd gone. He said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to him, do you love me more than these? He said, if you do, I want you to take that, hallelujah, that fellowship that we've had, that time that we spent together, I want you to go forth, glory to God, and I want you to feed them. I want you to share with others what Christ has done for you. And we won't try to. But in Acts, I do want to read a little bit to you, and we'll get closed. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, because they got the door cracked, and I smell it. And it's working. And so, if you read through here in verses 1 through 14, you find some of the things that took place after the resurrection. And so he told us, he gave us a promise again, and reminded us from, remember John 14 when he was trying to encourage those disciples, he knew what was coming. He said, where I am, you're going to be also. He was encouraging us. We got a hope, hallelujah. And he let them know then, praise God, in the in verses 9 through 11, if you read there, the angels let them know. They said, listen, because when Jesus began to go up into the clouds and out of sight, they said, why are you stand gazing into heaven? That same Jesus, which is taken up with you into heaven in verse 11, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again. Hallelujah. That's the promise of the Word of God. Man may not think so. Man sometimes may try to discourage us from it. And they got, I know, little different ideas about, well, exactly how they're coming to be. But here's the deal. He's coming again. Hallelujah. Amen. And he told them that. That's what the angels there encouraged them about. And so I thought about it. You know, if you go back and you read in 1 Thessalonians 4 where he's encouraging the Thessalonican people and you and I about the fact that he's coming again, I think about here we are. We're at homecoming. Now, this is a good thing, and I thank God for it. I know, hallelujah, good, glad to be able to come together and get together and see each other, you know, a little bit. We fellowship, and I'll get to a little bit where I don't get to come down here much. But boy, what a homecoming that'll be.
Amen.
I mean, glory to God. That's, you know, think about it. He's telling us that we'll forever be with the Lord. What a homecoming that is. There's not one of those where we come and, well, we got to leave. We got to depart, you know. No, glory to God, we're going. And hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. I thought about what He has done for me. And I looked at this some the other day. But He has been, and it was said here today. And so He's been faithful all the time. All the time. It didn't matter. You might say, well, I saw you, Larry. You was real down and out. Or, you know, you didn't seem like you was really that interested. You're right. There's times I've been like that. But He didn't change His faithfulness. He's still who He is. And He was there, and you know what He did for me? He didn't let me just fall off the side and give up on me, the glory to God. He come back and encouraged me again to continue. And so what He told them here then in verses 12 through 14, they returned to Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up to the upper room where they abode. We know all the difficulties they faced, both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and all the different ones. These all continued in verse 14 with one accord in prayer and supplication. They're still preaching and praying, we are today. That's what God gives us to do. So He tells us, hallelujah, to go out and just tell others what He's done for you. Praise God how He's blessed you and how good He's been. And in spite of my unfaithfulness, oftentimes, He has never, ever failed to be faithful.
Amen.
Songwriter's right. He's faithful. Amen. He is all the time. How good He is. So I encourage you, praise God, today that we enjoy, and this is a blessing that God gives us, to have a little homecoming at the church and get together and have a good time with one another. But there's a homecoming coming. And He's given us what we need. And I pray you'll be encouraged. If nothing else, just you can share with somebody. I just want to tell you, boy, what Jesus did for me.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank You and we praise You for blessing us together. We just ask that You have Your way in the service, that You guide and direct Brother Chris. Whatever You'd have, we give it to You. But we praise You and thank You for allowing us to be together. In Jesus' precious name, I'm asking You, if there's one here that doesn't know You as Savior, that You'll call them unto Yourself and save them. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the word, the encouraging word, and seems that here lately, over the last couple of months, we've had several people to encourage us. Amen. Just to keep on, just to tell them. And as our sister plays this morning, I just ask you to stand. And I was reminded of what the blind man said, because he couldn't answer all the questions, but he knew this. He said, whereas I was blind, he said, now I can see.
Yes, that's right.
Just ask you if you will to bow with us this morning, and if you have a prayer need this morning while our sister plays, give you an opportunity to come and just obey God this morning while we wait just a minute. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for the Word of God, and we thank You, Father, for the encouragement that, Father, that we receive this morning, that that, Father, that though we struggle at times in our faithfulness, Father, you're always faithful. And we're thankful and pray that you just help us, each and every one. I pray, help us that we might let our light so shine for Christ, Father, that we not hide it under a bushel, not be ashamed of it, but Father, we would just let our light shine to this world and just be a witness, I pray. We thank you now for all that you've done and just pray that you'd bless and keep and help. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen this morning for being here. Good to see each and every one of you. Now, I hope that you all come to stay and eat and hope that you got a good appetite because we got plenty to eat. And before we dismiss and go to the back, is there any other word or anything we need to mention this morning? Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Scott, if you will, just to pray for us and to go ahead, Brother Scott, and just ask a blessing on the food.
Lord, we just thank you for our time together this morning.
Hallelujah.
Lord, as we go to the back in fellowship, Lord, we just ask you that you'll bless our time there, Lord, and just bless the food. And Lord, as we go upon this new week, Lord, no matter what circumstance we're in, Lord, just remind us that it's our goal in life is to tell others about you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Tell about the goodness of God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all things. In His name, amen.
Thank you.